Open your Bibles with me this morning to Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and remain standing with me, and then we'll let you be seated here in just a few moments. In light of our mentor program, I had prayed about what to speak on today, and today I just want to talk about the subject, no regrets, when it comes to raising our children, raising kids who will change the world. And I believe that God can allow us here as a church to raise a group of children that can literally change the world. If you believe that, say amen. And Moses has a lot to say about that in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I'd like to read the first 7 verses, then I'm going to let you be seated. But we'll be looking at basically the whole chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You can be seated this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and this morning I just want to talk about raising kids who will basically change the world. I believe that God has allowed us to come into this place for such a time as this, to pray together, to seek the God of heaven, and ask God to give us wisdom and discernment as to what we need to do as a church. And if you believe that, say amen. It comes from the great documentary of the theological mind of everyone's favorite character on movie screen, Forrest Gump. How many of you have ever seen Forrest Gump? Forrest Gump, starring Tom Hanks, there's a repetitious line throughout the entire movie, and the line is, and you probably know it well, "My mama always says," and then he adds something like this. Say it with me. "Life is like a..." See, I knew you watched those movies. "Life is like a box of chocolate." And when we look at that, we think that Forrest Gump in the movie is just a simpleton and we really don't pay a lot of attention to him. But one commentator watching the movie had a very interesting observation. He said, "For most viewers, Forrest Gump is viewed as a simpleton. But if you judge his character too quickly, you overlook an important truth that is true of every person. Our parents' words will have a lasting impact on us." My mama always said, life is like a box of chocolate. You know what I believe? I believe God has called the parents here within this room to impact this community, this church, for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ with your very words. I believe as we speak words of encouragement, we speak words of affirmation into the hearts and minds of our children, I believe that they will be transformed from the inside out, because as parents, our words have lasting impact upon all of us. So knowing that, I want us to pray this morning. I want us to pray over the scripture, pray over what Deuteronomy chapter 6 has to say, and I believe it'll change your life for good, for God, and for glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this place you have given us. Thank you for our time of worship together. And even today, I am reminded of my parents' words, what my dad and my mom said to me. Lord, what an impact it placed upon my life and my family life. And so, Father, I pray that you would help me as a parent, Lord, to teach my children and train them in the ways of the Lord. That you would help me as a pastor to encourage the families here to be strong families. Lord, for us to take our gifts and our talents and use them within this community. And we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say with me, amen. I was reading about a young couple who was talking about their theory of child raising. And they thought it was important not to put prejudice in the heart of their kids when it came to religion. They wanted their kids to basically grow up and decide on their own whether they wanted to be Catholic or Baptist or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist. So they thought it was very important for them not to implant any ideas, not to help them at all with their decision. And as they were talking about this at this home, the host of the home said, "Well, I'd like for you to go outside. I want to show you my garden." They said, "Great." They walk outside, and the host takes that couple over to a deserted field. And that deserted field, there was no houses there, there were no buildings, there was just a bunch of weeds that had piled up, and they seemed very confused because they thought they were going to see a garden. And they looked at the man, they said, what are you doing with this? I thought you were planning on building a garden and having a garden here. And the guy said, "Oh, I don't plan to do anything with it. I'm letting it determine what it wants to be." And I believe that's the same thing that we have done with our children. We do not talk to our children enough about the things of God, the way they ought to go. We have a responsibility here this morning as born-again believers to mentor the next generation down the right path. If you believe it, say amen. If we don't, then I believe that the weeds of the world are going to rise up and they're going to choke out their hopes and their dreams of what they could be for God's honor and for God's glory. If you and I sit back and we sit soaking sour over everything the culture has dealt to us, we've got to rise up above the mundane and be better. We have got to tell our children about the wonderful works and the will of God. If you believe us, say amen. You see, I see in the Word of God that God has called every single family to be missional evangelistic farmers. That is, God has called you and I to look at the fertile field of a child's heart and to begin to till it with truth and to plant precepts down deep in their heart and weed out the worldliness that is there and garden that process where they can grow up to be all that God has called them to be. I agree with Dr. John MacArthur, who passionately writes. He says, "For the past 40 years or more, the signs of the family collapse have been paraded before us continually. Divorce, the sexual revolution, abortion, delinquency, infidelity, homosexuality, radical feminism, the children's right movement, together with the normalization of a single-parent home, the decline of the nuclear family, and other similar signs. We have been watching the braiding of an intricate rope that will ultimately strangle the family to death." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the culture that you and I live in. That is the culture to which our children are born in. They are born in a culture of divorce, of the sexual revolution, of abortion, infidelity, homosexuality, and all these things. You and I, we have got to rise up and have some courage, ask God to grant us some wisdom, and tell the next generation they can be different from culture, they can be different from the world, they can rise up by grabbing a hold of God's hand and do something significant as a champion for the Lord Jesus Christ, changing our culture, our community, from upside down for the cause of Christ. If you believe it, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. I believe God can and will use our kids if parents will do their part. It was the former First Lady Barbara Bush who said these words, "As important as your obligation as a doctor, a lawyer, or a business leader will be, you are a human being first. And those human connections with spouses, with children, with friends are the most important investments you will ever make. At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, winning one more verdict, or closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with a husband, a child, a friend, or a parent. Our success as a society depends not on what happens in the White House, but what happens inside your house." And I have to say amen. You know, I know we look to government today and we're asking government and we're asking education and we're asking all these things to help our culture and help our children. And many of these things are good within themselves. But the very thing that's going to be a builder of a nation is our homes. I believe as mom and dad is right with God, as we begin to grab a hold of the hand of God and ask God to lead us, and ask God to direct us, and ask God to break our heart over what's happening within our culture. seeing our children with teen pregnancy, seeing our young boys in the community strung out on dope, seeing our teenagers and young people living in broken homes with no heroes to look up to, with no one to talk to. I'm asking you today to allow that to break your heart. Even Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." You say, "Brother David, where does it start?" It starts right within the home. It starts with every mom and dad. It starts with every grandma and grandpa here to rise up above the mundane and step up to the challenge that I will be a mentor. I will change my home. I will change my marriage. I will pray for my son. I will pray for my daughter. I will get involved and ask God to use our community to be a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Moses comes to the people of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he brings them the very key that's going to make them successful when it comes to helping and utilizing a stable society. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he gives them several things to consider when building the home and raising kids who will change the world for the cause of Christ. And I want to give you three things that should happen in every single home. Every home that is represented here, in your home and in your heart, let me give you three things that should happen in every home. Ready? First of all, there should be the tenacity of conviction within every home. There should be this tenacity that you know who you are. You know what God has called you to do. You will not give up, you will not give out, and you will not give in. You are courageous in your call and your responsibility for God, and you've got conviction. There are some things about you that you just will not compromise. There's things about you that you won't jump to the right or to the left on. You're going to stay on the path that brings honor and glory to Christ, regardless of the culture, regardless of what the government says. When the government's laws interfere with heaven's laws, the child of God is always to obey heaven's laws. Someone say amen there. God has called you and I to be missional in our endeavors and to have a conviction about us. Well, the Bible says in verse number seven here, watch what the text says. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Thou shalt teach them, that is the commandments, the statutes, the law and the will and the ways of God, God's principles and precepts outlined in the Bible. Thou shalt teach them, what's the next word, church? Diligently unto thy children. Parents are called to teach their children. The responsibility was never to be delegated out to anybody else. Influencing your child is not up to your child's peers. It is up to the parents. Understand that. I know there's a mentality that is out there that it takes a village to raise a child. I'm here to tell you, it takes a parent to raise a child. The responsibility delegated out to every mom and dad is your God-given responsibility is to pray and to seek the Lord's face. And you are not to turn your child over to their peers. You are to be a parent who's in love with God and who is tenacious in your attitude and your convictions within your home. There's some things that you will not compromise about. You see, the Bible tells you and I, this is our responsibility. Now, many authorities that are out there on parenting would totally disagree with me. They would say, yes, it takes a village to raise a child. Yes, it takes the peers to influence the child. One of them would be Judith Rich Harris. She is a New Jersey-based grandmother, and she's the author of several psychology books, a textbook, one entitled The Nurture Assumption, Why Children Turn Out the Way They Do. And basically, in that book, she virtually says, nothing parents can do will make any significant difference in the child's temperament, personality, or character. Her premise is that nothing that you do as a parent is really going to make an impact on that child's temperament, personality, or even character. Here's what she argues, and I quote, parenting has been oversold. You have been led to believe that you have more of an influence on your child's personality than you really do. According to Harris, our children's peer groups and not parents determine what kind of people they will grow up to be. It's not the parent that's going to determine it. It's the peer group. It's the culture. They're the ones that's going to determine. So parenting has been oversold. You've been led to believe that you have more influence on your child's personality than you really do. Perhaps you're here this morning or you're listening by the way of the internet and you agree with Harris's premise within her book. If you do, let me tell you why parents in our culture today have less influence on their kids and the peer group has more influence on them. One commentator wrote, "Most parents have simply abandoned the parental role. They have permitted all their children's spiritual, moral, and ethical instruction to come from television, movies, music, and other children. Even in the best cases, parents rely too much on school teachers, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, and pastors all outside the family. I'm here to tell you, shame on you if you allow MTV and VH1 and HBO to be your child's babysitter. Shame on you this morning. You ought to ask God to forgive you and get your heart right with God. Can you say amen? Have some conviction about who you are as a parent. For too long, we have allowed our children to succumb to the temptations of society and the worldliness around us. We allow the internet and television to bombard their minds without any supervision whatsoever. It is time that you have some conviction. It is time that you rise up and say, I will not allow the culture to dictate to me what I'm going to do as a parent. I will not allow the government to dictate to me what I'm going to do as a parent. I'm going to uphold the word of God, and I'm going to raise my children in the fear and admonition of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to his name. What am I asking? I'm asking for you to be tenacious in your attitude, for you to have the tenacity, to have conviction about who you are and what you believe in. Unfortunately for Israel, they did not take heed to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7. As their journey went on, they got farther and farther away from the Lord. And we read very sadly in the book of Judges, we find this little synopsis about where they are or where they have traveled to from Deuteronomy 6 to Genesis chapter 2 or Judges chapter 2. Listen. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. But verse 10, verse 11, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, they died. There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. Here is Joshua, the great man of God, who when they came to Kadesh Barnea and they seen the giants in the land, there were two guys that said, we can do this, Joshua and Caleb. These guys said, these giants will be bread for us. We can do this. They were very courageous men. They were allowed to go into the promised land with the people that were younger of a certain age. All the older people had died off in the desert. And now Joshua's generation has seen the works of God, seen the will of God, and now they're gone, the old timers have died off. And the Bible says they raised another generation that did not know the Lord. I wonder if that's us today. I'm fearful with all the old timers who are going on to be with the Lord. I'm fearful what the next generation is going to look like. You know, it saddens me that our churches today, we get so contemporaried out that our churches today look like clubs more than they do churches. Smoke machines and colored lights and, you know, all this and that. You know, there should be a holiness about the place of God. There ought to be a reverence. There ought to be a difference when you walk into the house of God. We ought to understand this is a house of prayer, that God has called us to be missional in our endeavors. We're not here to party. We are here to praise. Amen? We are not here as a social club. We are here as the bride of Christ, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And it saddens me that our young people today, they don't see the difference. What you get in the nightclub, you can get at the church. What you get at the church, you can basically get at the nightclub. I'm here to tell you, there's a difference when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a right, there is a wrong, and the Bible outlines it for us. I believe in absolute truth, and we ought to stand on the very pages of the Word of God. Why? There's a generation that may grow up all around us that they don't know the Lord. They think church is about media. They think church is about flashing lights, loud guitars, and smoke machines, and all this and that. They don't realize that coming to church is about repentance, salvation, justification, about the Lord Jesus Christ's righteous life dying on an old rugged cross for you and I. I don't know about you, but I'm asking you to covet with me on this. I'm asking you to pray with me on this. Let's do it right. How do we do it? By the book. Somebody say amen right there. You see, the people of Israel drifted away from the convictions that the older generation had, and as a result, there was a generation that grew up without God. What should be within our homes? The tenacity of conviction within every home. Second of all, there ought to be the teaching of character within every home. Look at verse 17 and verse 18. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. The teaching of character. Verse 17 and verse 18 basically tells us that we have to be diligent to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's what verse 17 and verse 18 is saying. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimony, statutes. Then it says that thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. You know, throughout the Bible, when a generation of parents neglect to plant spiritual seeds that would provide spiritual shade trees for later generations, those children always suffered spiritually. When you read the Bible, you'll find that parents that neglected in their responsibility to plant a seed deep within the culture, within the church, within the home, that would produce a spiritual shade tree. Boy, there's nothing like getting in the shade on a hot Georgia summer day, amen? When it's 90-something degrees outside and there is no breeze at all, and all of a sudden you walk under a shade tree, it is relief on a bald man's head, let me tell you that right now, huh? And you walk underneath that tree and you take a cool drink of water and you sit underneath that shade tree. Well, in a few moments, if you sit there long enough, you can close your eyes, you're at peace and at rest when everything else is blazing from on the perimeter of that tree. God has called you, listen, Dad, Mom, God's called you to plant some seeds that will provide spiritual shade trees for your generation, for this generation, for generations to come. Many times the spiritual seeds that we use come from the soil of our own spiritual character. You see, as we allow God to use us and we allow God to create within us a character that's in love with the Lord, a character that can be seen, it's evident to our children. They see what we do. They know who we are, that we will not compromise. They see our character, how we love God. Those seeds, those spiritual seeds that we use, they come from the very soil of our own spiritual character, our own journey with God, what we have experienced, the challenges we have faced, the temptations that we have overcome through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the first step for any parent in here in fixing a spiritually declining culture is to basically fix the parents. If we want North Georgia and Catoosa County to be all that it can be for the honor and glory of Christ, it doesn't start with the environment. It doesn't start with the education system. It doesn't start with the government. It starts with mom and dad. When mom and dad's heart is in tune with God, when mom and dad's heart is in tune with the Word of God, when mom and dad is walking the life of godly character, it starts right there, and it spreads and permeates through the school system. It permeates through the culture. It goes through the government. It permeates out, and God's honor and glory is seen, and God allows us to make the people glad in the very goodness of God when you and I are walking with the Lord. You see, the teaching of character within the home is essential. So I'm asking you today, do you thirst for God? Do you have a thirst and a hunger for God? Is your life sending your kids a message of spiritual influence or spiritual indifference? When your children see what you do and they hear what you say, do they understand that you are impacting them for good, for God and glory? Or are you leaving a legacy of spiritual indifference behind? Is your own commitment to Christ what you hope it will be in your children's lives? Do you hope that your children will walk in the same path that you are walking in right now, close to God, honoring God, loving God? Or if you took an honest evaluation about yourself, would you say, I hope my kids don't make the same error that I am making, walking away from God, not being alone with God, not loving the Lord? Is your obedience to His word the same kind of submission you long to see for your own kids? Somebody may be thinking, well, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid that I'll do something wrong and my kids won't turn out right. And I'm just so afraid, Brother David. I want to do what's right. I want to be involved. I want to change a life. But I'm just so afraid. I'll say the wrong thing. I'll do the wrong thing. And you're just strapped by fear. One commentator refutes that assumption by saying, the truth is that such people are not a product of something their parents did to them. They are products of what their parents did not do to them. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to sit down with your kids and talk about the tough stuff. Don't be afraid to sit down and talk about sex, drugs, bad influences. Don't be afraid to check their cell phone. Ask any of the Samson kids. It is random cell phone check around my house, huh? Why? It's my responsibility. Huh? And every once in a while, I'll walk up to them and say, give me your cell phone. The fear that comes over them kind of empowers me a little bit, you know? Let me see your cell phone. Why? I don't know. I just want to see it. And I'll start looking through that thing. What do you see? I don't know. What do I see? And I just want them to know that Dad's watching them, huh? That Dad is watching them. I've told you before, my mom was a big disciplinarian. What time is it? 12 o'clock? Almost done, all right? For those of you that want to know, it's almost 12, all right? My mom was a big disciplinarian, and she raised two very, very rowdy boys. Me and Bill, oh my goodness, we were very, very bad. Billy put me in a dryer one time and turned it on. That's why I had no hair today. Fried it all off, all right? And he kept hitting the button. I go, like this. And then he hit the button again, like that, you know? And one time he was kissing his girlfriend in the basement. And I walked down with one of those Daisy BB guns. And I said, unhand that maiden. He said, get out of here. And I shot him right here. We were playing darts one time. And I said, you missed the board. Don't throw the dart. I'm going to go pick the darts up. I walk over there. He threw one and stabbed me right in the back with a dart. We were as mean could be. Me and my brother was. And I guess the meanest thing that we ever done, we had a swimming pool. And Mom and Dad said, don't jump over the side of the swimming pool. Use the ladder. Well, what did we do as mean, rotten little teenagers? We went running through the yard, and we was diving over and flipping up in the air and, you know, and going inside the pool. Well, I caught my foot on the side of the pool. I ripped the liner, and water is just oozing out of the pool. I wanted to run away at that moment. I said, I'm packing my bags. I'm leaving. Mom is going to just, you know, I'm crying. Bill's all upset. And I'm like, they're going to be so mad as we tore the line, or we're going to get upset. What are we going to do, Bill? Billy's my older brother. He's a couple years older than me. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in there. We're going to tell Mom and Dad that some people in the alley, we had an alley where I lived at there near Indiana, Chicago. People in the alley were throwing rocks at us, and one of the rocks hit you and tore the liner. I said, they're not going to believe that. How are they going to believe that? Like this. He went, bam, and he punched me right in the face. He said, Mom, Dave just got hit with a rock from somebody in the alley. Mean, man. My mother comes running downstairs, and I was like, somebody hit me with a rock. My face is all swelled and all this and that. Mean. I'm telling you, mean. But you know what? My mother got on her knees. She prayed for us. We needed it, amen? Amen. We needed it. And I could hear my mother sometimes in her bedroom. When me and my brother would come home, I could hear my mom through my high school years praying in her bedroom for her boys. Asking God to watch out over them, asking God to help them. I could actually hear my mother crying. And I was afraid to approach the door because the glory of God was in that bedroom. My mama was praying for us, asking God to watch out over us. She was showing me what it means to have spiritual character, and I love her for that today. In spite of all my faults and all my failures and all my mishaps and everything else I've done along through life, I can say this, it's what my mama did for me that has made all the difference in the world. Mom and Dad, I'm asking you today to consider the teaching of character within the home. Have a tenacious conviction about yourself within the home. And then, of course, above all else, in verse 20 and verse 25, have the testimony of Christ within the home. Verse 20, and when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath given you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Hallelujah. You see, we were all just slaves of sin. The devil was our taskmaster. We were bound and chained by our depravity. But God brought us out by a mighty hand, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ reached down in my heart at the age of 12 years old, and God wonderfully and gloriously saved me. What do you tell your children? You tell them that God rescued you. God rescued you from despair. God rescued you from depravity. That things have not always been the best in the world, but God has always been faithful. God has rescued our family with a mighty hand, the Bible says. Verse 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt and Pharaoh and upon all his house before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Boy, that'll preach right there. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. God has brought us out of sin. God has brought us out of spiritual slavery. God has brought us out of spiritual bondage. God has brought us out that he might take us in to the glorious city of God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, up there far beyond the stars, there's a wonderful, beautiful place that the Bible calls heaven. There's walls of jasper. There's gates of pearl. There's a wonderful city that Jesus said, if I go, I will prepare you a place, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm talking about heaven. Are you longing for heaven today? Can you say amen? The Bible tells you and I, he brought us out that he might take us in. Take us into the very blessings and the purpose of God. Verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. What do we tell our sons and daughters? We tell them verse 20 to verse 25. God has brought us out. I'm talking about the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ within your home. When your children talk to you about how do you handle pressure, how do you handle things, how do you cope with society, how do you do all these things, you point them to Jesus Christ. Point them to Christ and Christ alone. It was Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of London, who once was asked, when you're preaching on a subject, what do you suggest we do as we end the sermon? He said, it doesn't matter what I preach on. I always go cross country to the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, I might be preaching on the family today, but I'm here to tell you it is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that's made a difference in my life, and it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that will make a difference in your life. All you have to do is humbly ask him to help you today. Mom and Dad, you don't have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You can rise above the problems in your home and the struggles that you're facing. Grab a hold of the hand of God, because the character of our children tomorrow is shaped by what they learn from us today. The character of our children is shaped by what they learn from us today. So do your part. Be missional in your endeavor. And live your life with no regrets that you love God, you were loyal to God, you were faithful to Him, and you lived your life out where your children know unmistakably you were walking with God. If you believe it, say amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. Lord, how my heart breaks today, Lord, that we are living in a culture and a society that is bombarded, Lord, with all sorts of wickedness. Lord, there are many lonely children that are just in need of a friend. May you use the ministries of Parkway Baptist Temple to be missional in our endeavors, to love this community, to pray for those who are in leadership often. Lord, for us to take the word of God and hide it within our heart that we might not sin against thee. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us. Help us as parents to do what is right. And Lord, how you know how much I love my children today. I want the very best for them. And so, Father, I pray that they would hear their daddy's heart. And Lord, they would know my heart. And Father, may the parents of this church look to you today in faith believing. Grant us wisdom. Give us courage. Lord, help us not to be afraid, for we are not alone. You are with us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.